It's hour number four of this week's Blues Before Sunrise. I'm Steve Cushing. Howlin' Wolf made his first records in 1951. As a matter of fact, he recorded for 3 years before he came to Chicago in 1954. I thought we'd take some time to listen to those recordings from 51, 52, and 53, the early sides that Wolf did. Check it out. It's Howlin' Wolf.
Must have been undying. Bluebird, bluebird, I want you to take a minute down south for me. Bluebird, bluebird, I want you to take a minute down south for me. I want you to find Miss Lady Bell and tell her I'm just as blue as a man can be. She may be right across the street, fiddling next door neighbor, you know. Chicago, I want you to fly to the sun in the cloud. If you get a mess from Lazy Bell, don't let it hit the ground. cry for nothing. She don't want me to sit around and worry for a thing. Lord, she don't want me to cry for nothing. She don't want me to sit around and worry for a thing. Before she's down to see me to worry what she'll do. Get out and wait for a man.
And Howlin' Wolf with a handful of early recordings, 51 and 52. Willie Johnson is on guitar on these things, Willie Steele on drums, and there's a guy, L.C. Hubert, I think, was the piano player on some of these, when the piano player was heard. We had Chocolate Drop from January 1952, tune called My Baby Walked Off, December 1951. Bluebird Blues, April 1952, also from that same session, I Got a Woman. And we wrapped it up with a side from May of 1951, Baby, Ride With Me. And it's Howlin' Wolf on the vocals and harmonica when you hear it. Again, you're tuned to Blues Before Sunrise, and I'm Steve Cushing. Before we get back to music, let me take a moment to remind you about our schedule for this month. This is the last program that we'll do before we do the holiday shows. You know, we do two Christmas programs. We'll do one next week, which is the 14th, and then our second Christmas show is on the 21st. That means that we still have one more show this year on the 28th of December. And what I'd like to do is something we haven't done in a long time, and that's a request program. It used to be, when I was here live, you could call me up on the phone and put in your request. I'd write it down, and we'd do it on the week when we did the request program. As it is, I'm not in the studio or anywhere near a phone, but you can, if you have a request that you'd like to see us include on that program at the end of the month. There are two sites online on Facebook. There's my personal site, Steve Cushing, and then there's Blues Before Sunrise at WDCB. That's the actual program website. And just in the comments under the programs, leave them there, and I'll see if I can't gather them up, see if we have enough to do a program. Okay? All right. Keep that in mind. Oh, by the way, they have to be in by the 21st, because that's that week is when I'll be recording the program. We listened to Howlin' Wolf a handful. We've got a couple more here. These are done in 1952, and they feature Ike Turner. Some of these on piano, I think, when we listen. I think he actually supervised a session for the Bahari Brothers and plays piano on some of these.
Oh boy, this morning things not so good. The sun is rising just above the tree. I have nobody to talk with me. You had another tell me that you don't want me no more. Can you remember, baby? Ooh, when I knocked him on your door,
had another tell you
don't want me no more. Your color, darling, crazy about your kind. You're the sweet looking woman, you keep me wood all the time. Ooh, don't make me cry. Ooh, ooh.
law. I'm gonna have to depot it and I'll load that train back on. My baby done left me, she done stole off with another man.
Charge us all.
from February 1952, Driving This Highway, Ike Turner playing the piano there. We had, before that, My Baby Stole Off from October 1951. And one of my favorites to begin the set from February 1952, The Sun Is Rising. And, you know, I think Wolf, particularly in the early days, sort of favored Big Joe Turner in that I'm not sure that he ever wrote down any lyrics or that he had set lyrics. I think he just sort of grabbed the stanzas as the music rolled by. Whatever came to mind, that's what he sang. Early Howlin' Wolf, things recorded down south, down in Memphis, before he came north to Chicago in 1954. It's Blues Before Sunrise. I'm Steve Cushing. If you've paid any attention to what goes on in the news, you probably saw this if you're a music fan, that Steve Cropper passed away at the age of 84. He was the guitar player in Booker T and the MGs, but he was a lot more than that. Part of the house band at the Stax label down south, and he also wrote a number of soul classics. Was it Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding, also Midnight Hour for Wilson Pickett, I think Knock on Wood with Eddie, and he just had a long, distinguished career, and he played great surgical guitar. Boy, you get guys out there trying to shred, and Steve Cropper could step up and play three bars and play, you know, three notes in three bars, but they would be at just the right place that would nail you to the wall. I thought, well, this my introduction, for a long time I had no idea who he was, but I had heard his music very early. Back in 1962, I've told this story before, my mom, I don't know what she was listening to, what radio station, but every once in a while, she'd bring home records like Duane Eddy and Gene McDaniels. But I remember that she heard this record and couldn't find a record shop that had it, except she found one that was about 10 miles away. I was 10 years old, and she sent me on my bicycle. And the thing was, it wasn't the distance. It's just that it were the busiest streets in our neighborhood. I mean, two lanes going 40 miles an hour, that was sort of an adventure for a little kid. So I went to the record store, Little's in Oak Park. It was on Lake Street, just east of Oak Park Avenue, and picked up a copy of Green Onions. And I probably still have that in my 45 box. Steve Cropper is there playing some real wicked guitar, along with Booker T. Jones and the guys. As a matter of fact, since that's my introduction, and one of the main hooks was Steve Cropper's career, I've got a clip here that we found on the internet of him telling the story of how Green Onions was recorded. Let's check it out. Then we'll listen to some sides by the band.
Hi, this is Joe Chambers. Today's short clip from the vault comes from the Steve Cropper interview we shot back in 2008. Steve talks about how they recorded the great instrumental hit song, Green Onions. We hope you enjoy it. And if you do, be sure to hit like, subscribe, and the notification bell so you don't miss any of our new content. Hope you like it. Steve Cropper.
Story behind Green Onions. Jim Stewart had booked a Sunday session, which was more of a demo, because we worked 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and all the guys, most of the guys, except for myself, had night gigs. You know, they had to be on stage by 9 o'clock, usually, and doing four sets a night, sometimes five. And anyway, we were there to cut an artist named Billy Lee Riley, who's pretty famous. You may have him hanging on the wall around here somewhere. And Jim had talked to Billy about cutting some stuff on him. I think Billy had recorded over at Sun or somewhere. And anyway, he didn't show up for the session, and we were just kind of waiting on him, and we were just jamming on some stuff. And Jim still expected Billy to show up. And we just started jamming on some blues just to kind of warm up our instruments and just kind of keep from being bored to death. You know, we're sitting there waiting on this guy. Usually it's the other way around. It's usually the singer's waiting on the musicians to show up. But that day, we were just playing and just jamming on some blues, just some blues in F that we would do on stage, you know, just to mark the time, to just add, you know, to the night. And we finished it, and I remember, if I still had the tape, I remember the end, we just were laughing. We just thought it was funny, you know, hey, that's pretty good, da-da-da-da-da. And Jim got on the talk back and said, hey, guys, he said, come up here and listen to this. We go, what, you put that down? He said, yeah. He was already set up to record, so he just reached over and pushed the record button. So there we were listening to this thing, and Jim Stewart just fell in love with it. He thought it was great, you know. And it was a song that turned out to, the title of it turned out to be the B-side of Green Onions called Behave Yourself. At the time, it didn't have a title. But what was funny about it is Jim Stewart said, he said, that's pretty good. He said, if we decide to put that out, he said, if you guys got another song you can put on the B-side? He called it the B-side. And we said, no. I mean, we looked at each other. We didn't sit around and write all the time, you know. Booker and I wrote a little bit, and I looked at Booker. I said, I don't know. I said, I remember you played me some kind of riff or a lick about 2 weeks prior to that session. And he said, I don't know. He said, well, I think I might remember. And he goes out on the organ and he starts playing the kind of the Green Onions lick that we know. You know, I said, yeah, that's it. So Al sat down and Louis sat down on the bass and we start jamming on this thing. And Jim said, that's pretty catchy. He said, you know, let's get an arrangement on this. And so we did this thing. And so Jim said, you know, that's pretty good. He said, but Steve, he said, that thing you're doing in the middle of the song, he said, why don't you put that on the intro? Just do that on the intro and play a verse like that, then let Booker play, and then you do a regular solo. And I went, oh, okay. And that was the take. I put these chink things I was doing on the intro. Booker plays two verses, I played a solo, Booker played a verse, and that was it. It was out. And it was just sort of an accident in a way. And so the good part of this story, I love telling this part of the story. I went ahead and leadered it off and all, and I called Scotty Moore the next day. For people who don't know Scotty Moore, I'm sure you do if you're watching this stuff, is he was Elvis's guitar player. He was also a guitar player for Sun Records, and he also liked to engineer. He used to call me over to do some sessions because he wanted to engineer like Chips Moman did. So I was this lucky guy that got to play on some of the sessions. But anyway, I called Scotty and I said, yesterday I said, well, I think we cut a pretty good song. I said, would you cut me a dub on it? And he said, sure, come on over, you know. So I went over there and we fired up, you know, and he fires a lathe up and all that. And he's, man, Steve, he said, that's pretty catchy. He said, what do you call that? And I said, well, we don't have a name for it yet. I just said, I just know it's good. And I said, I'm going to see if I can get my buddy to, I want one of my disc jockey friends to hear it. So he cuts this dub. The next morning, I go down to my friend Reuben Washington, who was on WLOK radio station. He had the drive time slot. And I went down there, and I used to go down there and just hang out with him anyway. And we were kind of good friends. He'd come by the record shop, and we'd hang out some, you know. And I said, I want you to listen to this thing. I said, we cut it Sunday afternoon. Tell me what you think. So he put it on a turntable. He's playing another record on the air, and he put it on a turntable, and he played the intro, and he played about two or three bars of the verse, and he just stopped it and backed it up. The other record got through playing. He just hit it and spun it, put it out on the air. I said, is that going? I saw the red light come on that turntable. I said, is that going out on the air? And he said, yeah. I said, man, that's okay. I said, you hadn't even heard it yet. He said, no, it's good enough. He hears it, backs it up, and plays it again. He played it four times in a row, and the phones lit up. People couldn't believe it. They said, who is that? Where can we buy this? What do you call that? Da-da-da-da-da. And he said, I can't tell you, and there's no name for it. You know. Anyway, we got through, and he's laughing about it and all that. And he said, man, you better tell the guys to get serious about that, you know. And so I went back to the record shop, and they said, what did you do? And I said, what? And they said, the phones are ringing off the wall. Everybody's wanting to buy this thing that you had them playing on the radio. We were listening, you know. I said, you got to be kidding. So we called Jim Stewart. He was still working at the bank. Worked in the trust department at the bank downtown, and we told him, said, Jim, on your lunch break, you better get by the studio because we got something going on here. And we told him, excuse me. So we told him all about it, and he said, well, we got to do something. And it wasn't the side he liked. It was the up-tempo side. And so we called the guys in, and we said, we got to get a name for this thing, get it on the label and so forth. And so I can tell you now that Louis Steinberger played bass on it. When we're hashing around ideas, we came up with all kind of crazy ideas. And he said, why don't you call it Onions? He said, because that's the stinkingest music I ever heard, you know. And I went, yeah, that's pretty good, but, you know, Onions is kind of a negative. I don't deal in negatives. I said, isn't Onions a little negative? You know, they make people's eyes burn. Some people don't like them, gives them indigestion, all that. And I said, what about green onions? I said, a lot of people eat green onions, you know, with their dinner and everything like that. And they went, yeah, green onions. So that was the title. And I think the other title came about when, on the flip side, the song I mentioned earlier, Behave Yourself, which was just a blues ballad thing. Al Jackson actually said on a session, "I'll behave yourself," you know, like that, you know, and that's where that came from. So there we had the record. It came out as Volt 102. It was the second release on Volt Records. And the thing, I jumped in the car on that Friday. Well, that afternoon, I went down and put it in the vat. We made the stampers up. We had the title and all that, and had that all printed up. Put the stampers on it. I put it in the vat that night. And on, let's see, that was a Tuesday evening. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I went down and I picked up a box of 25 records and got with my buddy Bill Biggs, who was a promotion guy that hit all the one-stops and the jukebox operators and stuff. And I said, can I tag along and we go hit some of these stations? And he just thought that was a great idea, you know. So I jumped in the car with him with a box of records, and we started hitting Tupelo and Jackson, Mississippi, and went over to Four City, Arkansas, and then all the way to Little Rock, and hit all these things. And all of a sudden, then, they all started playing this record, and they were just glad to see anybody. They said, this is great. Nobody ever comes to see us, you know, in these little towns. And we got this saturated play on one weekend, and it just, the calls came in like crazy, because it really was a good record. And Atlantic finally got wind of it, and they said, you guys have a hit. One thing's wrong. You're going to have to get it off a Volt label, because we don't need to be promoting another label. So we put it on Stax. I went down, we changed the stampers and got records the next week. Went to number one.
Yeah, there's a handful of sides by Booker T and the MGs. You also heard Steve Cropper tell the story of how Green Onions was recorded. And we do this to mark the passing of Steve Cropper, who passed away December 3rd of this year. He was born October 21st, 1941, so he would have been 21 when they had Green Onions out, the big hit. We also heard, the records that we listened to on that one. We listened to Green Onions, then we listened to the flip side, Behave Yourself. And the one we just listened to was a thing called Ain't It. And that was, they listed in the discography as the 1960s. I don't know exactly when it was done. But Steve Cropper here on Blues Before Sunrise, one of the few white guys that were glad to play here. Also, passing away within, just a week or two ago, was guitarist Phil Upchurch, who was also born in 1941. And Phil was in jazz, and he was in R&B, and he was in all sorts of stuff. And I thought we would listen to a handful of recordings in the time that's left. So let's listen to Phil Upchurch. This goes back to the 1960s. You Can't Sit Down, Parts 1 and 2.
on, Joe.
There's Phil Upchurch teamed with Chaka Khan on the vocals there in their treatment. Remember Mickey and Sylvia, Love is Strange. And we do that again in honor to mark the passing of Phil Upchurch. Phil died November 23rd of this year. He also was born 1941 and July 19th of 1941. We don't necessarily play too many records that have either Phil Upchurch or Steve Cropper on them, but we get to them every once in a while. Phil Upchurch would play bass or guitar behind Jimmy Witherspoon, that kind of thing. But they're well known in the music field, and they did some great stuff. So we take the time out to play a record or two by them here. You're tuned to Blues Before Sunrise, and I'm Steve Cushing. And just like we do all the time, we have to pause and identify the station, and then we'll be back with our fifth and final hour.